The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. It's a nice Sunday morning. And if you've missed any of our shows, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. These are apps. Download the app. Look us up on Spotify. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Or on your computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen to us anytime you want. Last Monday, I was out of town. My daughter was getting baptized. And when I was out of town for her baptism, I got a call from one of my sellers. There's water coming into my basement. What do we do? What do we do? Yes, water was coming into their basement. And I think some of you experienced the same thing. It was a gusher of a rainstorm that we had in the DC area on Monday morning this past week. I think, as I understand it, in 2 hours at Reagan National, 6 inches of rain fell in 2 hours. There were maybe 4 inches of rain where this property was located in 1 hour. And so where this basement had never had water penetration in 40 years, this particular day, and in fact, just 2 days after it went under contract and 2 days prior to the home inspection, there was water penetration. So how do you deal with something that has occurred in your basement that has never occurred before, but occurs after you're under contract? Does this constitute a latent defect, a problem that is now something that has to be disclosed to the buyers? Or do you just clean the mess up and say, well, it's the only time it's ever happened. It's not likely it will happen again. These are questions that may be unclear in your mind about how to answer. So let's walk you through how to resolve a defect that happens only one time. This could include having termites on the outside of your house. It could perhaps be some sort of a defect electrically in your house that causes a small fire. There are a variety of ways that your property could be affected by something unexpected one time. And the question is, what should you do with the buyers? Well, let me explain the dilemma. Not only did the rush of water down a downspout force the elbow at the bottom to separate, and therefore the water was just pitching straight down at the base of the corner of this basement, so that water was then, fortunately, there was enough of a rise above where the ground level is. It was about 6 inches of a rise, but the water filled up to the point where it actually went 6 inches over the sill of the basement. It went up 6 inches and then dribbled down a corner into a small puddle on the floor. So it was not significant, but it did enter the house at that point. Okay, small problem there. Completely separately, there's a drain in the floor. Kettler Brothers built the house back in the late 1960s, early 70s. And at the time of construction, and many homes were done this way, a drain was put in the basement floor. The drain would go directly into the sewer underneath the property where all of the wastewater would go and so on. It would drop directly from that drain. In fact, if you've got an older house, you know what I'm talking about. It used to be that your condensation would be directed into that drain. And the nice thing about having that drain in your basement is if there's a spill, you could brush the spill into that drain, go right into the sewer, and that's the end of it. Well, in this case, that drain on the same day or maybe the day before got a clog, maybe from leaves or otherwise. And so the condensation, which in this case was being directed into that drain, and a dehumidifier, which we all are using, and the majority of us use dehumidifiers now in our homes, in our basements, because of the incredible amount of rain we've had the last couple of years. By the way, having a dehumidifier in your home is a good idea. It is very helpful, and it will help to keep the potential for mold growth in your basement and your home down dramatically. I'll tell you a separate story in a minute about how we walked through as a family last year having to use a dehumidifier and me recognizing the benefit of the dehumidifier in my own home. But before I get there, let's go back to the story I'm telling. We had a minor water penetration in a corner where that downspout came down and was separated. We also had a drain in the floor that got clogged. And so the dehumidifier that was on a constant feed into that drain and the condensate line, which brings the condensation from your air conditioning system, was also being fed into that line. So we had water pool up where the drain is, and then pool across the floor and into a family room where some brand new carpet had been put in about 6 weeks ago. So both of these issues have come up. We're under contract. We're going to the home inspection, which was slated for Wednesday of last week. And we have essentially got 2 days to address and clean up and figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to resolve it. First things first, you have to stop the water from coming in. Or you have to get the water out in this case where the drain was. So I contacted one of my handyman contractors who's just a fabulous Scotsman named Alan Byrne. Alan jumped to the task, immediately came out, snaked the drain so that the water was able to dissipate down, brought over blowers, and he blew the carpet so that they would dry out and mop the floors up. Unfortunately, some of our clients' boxes, some of the personal boxes that they had that were on the floor gotten wet, and there was some loss as a result of that, unfortunately, but that's just, you know, the circumstance that arose. In the corner, there was this issue of just water coming down that just simply had to be mopped up, because whereas 4 inches of rain fell in an hour, it stopped, what, like an hour, hour and a half later. We saw the pictures of people on top of their cars on Canal Road. I mean, you probably saw those images. If you didn't, Google Canal Road, cars, rainstorm, people standing on top. Just Google something like that and you'll probably see the images. It's dramatic. We had so much rain gushing all over. If you missed it, you were probably out of town like I was. Okay. Well, that said, there was no additional water coming in. But now we have an issue of disclosure. Do we tell the buyers? And how do you tell the buyers? Because a buyer can get very worried about water in a way that's unusual. It's not like your dishwasher broke and you can replace the dishwasher. The question is, am I going to have a long-term systemic issue in my home? Is this going to be a problem for me for many years? And most buyers will not buy a home that has a potential water issue unless the water issue is resolved. And resolving water issues can be done in a variety of different ways. Okay, if you think of your basement is kind of like a bathtub that's stuck in the ground, okay, and water has pressure from the outside of the tub trying to get into your basement, whether it's concrete or cinder block construction or poured concrete construction, the power of water on the outside, that force of water, can potentially compromise and come through cracks and cause wetness in a basement. And the only way to actually resolve that issue is by putting a French drain, which is essentially installing a drain on the outside of your home, surrounded by gravel, where water, when the water level rises, it goes into that drain pipe. The drain pipe is then taken away either to a dry well, a large well filled with concrete or filled with bluestone or otherwise, where the water is then directed to away from the house, or you direct that water to some sort of an exterior sump pump on the outside. That's one way. So relieve the pressure from the outside, or on the inside, excavate about 12 inches out from the basement floor all the way around the perimeter of the basement, putting in a French drain system that then feeds into a sump pump, and the sump pump then pushes the water outside and away from the house. In this case, neither was really necessary because there was no pressure from the outside to get in. We simply had a downspout that, again, because of that rush of water, separated from the elbow. So it was simply about reconnecting it and then extending our downspout and, you know, those black corrugated pipes that sometimes are added to downspouts in order to get water away. So let's extend that away, making sure that additional water does not sit in that area. End of story with that. As far as the drain is concerned, simply by snaking the drain, we resolve the issue there. But still, you have to tell the buyers about what happened. So how do you tell the buyer about that? This is really the question, because the sale is on the bubble when something happens after the buyer buys the house and when it has a potential long-term issue. Now, that that conversation should best be happening in person with a very specific way of resolving whatever the issue is. So between Monday and Wednesday, we got a clear plan of action for how we were going to resolve both issues, which was fairly simple, clean up the mess, dry the carpets as best as we can, and then when the buyer shows up for the home inspection, I was present at the home inspection to meet with the buyer and with their agent and say, and I called the agent in advance, I told the agent, hey, we're going to have to talk about a couple of issues with respect to this. And her response was, okay, great. Would you mind telling them? I said, no, I don't mind at all, and I'll be able to address this. So I met with the buyer, with the home inspector, and with their agent, and I said, look, I need to point out a couple of issues that have arisen and tell you what we've done about them just to make you aware. So I did, and I walked the buyer through and explained what I've just explained to you. And it really was not a big deal because we had already addressed the problems, so the solution had already been performed quickly, and we were right up front about it. So when you're filling out your disclosures, of course, you want to be very straightforward, very honest. In fact, if you've ever had a water issue, if you've ever had a fire, if you've ever had an issue in the past history of your property, I highly recommend you simply state, 25 years ago, I had this problem one time. I redirected my downspouts, and I've never had a problem since. Even if it hasn't happened since, it's good to be upfront. This is the way to sell real estate. We'll take a brief break with more Pointing You Home coming back with you right after this.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
I've noticed a trend recently where home buyers are coming in and purchasing their parents' homes, moving back into neighborhoods where they grew up. What this is about is the memories that we have as a child, perhaps even the comfort of knowing where the schools are located and how to guide our kids through what we went through and perhaps even do it better because of what we know, as well as just the memories, maybe knowing how to go through Halloween and trick-or-treating, being able to see some of the neighbors that you received treats from when you were a kid who are still living in that neighborhood. There are many actually very positive reasons to consider buying your childhood home. So selling your childhood home can be a real challenge because there's so much, as you hear, that interest in moving into your childhood home, and there's a draw to that. When you get to the point where you're actually selling it, it can be very hard. It can be very emotionally challenging. So I want to talk a bit about some of the techniques that I go through with my clients who are selling their homes and have children who've lived in the house for a while and are dealing with feeling like almost like a part of their family is being excommunicated from the family, that the absence of being able to walk in that door and go up those steps and sit in that corner and look out that window or walk in the backyard and pick that tomato or go in the basement or ride the big wheel around the basement or just walk from that house up to the pool like they've done. You know, life is dynamic. And real estate is the same. Constantly, life is moving. There is no going back in time and making things just as they were. But I think the draw to want to do that is understandable. And then the separation from that place, that seed, that place of holding all those memories is challenging, which is why I bought my parents' house. Because I didn't want to go through it. How about that? Okay, so why am I talking? Like, what the hypocrite is talking here, folks? Yeah, the guy that you're telling me how to go through this and you're the one who bought your house? Okay, right. But I do this for a living and I've walked many people through it. So I'll speak not necessarily, you know, do as I do, just do as I say. Okay, folks? All right. But seriously, it's going to be hard when I sell my house, and I'm going to face that reality probably in the not too distant future. You know, many of you have listened to my show for years, and you know I've got five children, and I'm now with Mary Catherine graduating from high school. I'm now looking at one at home. So, and then, you know, I'll be like a pinball rolling around inside my big house. I was talking with somebody in Northern Virginia. I was meeting with a couple of people. I'll be doing a speaking engagement in October to a group of retirees who are looking to figure out how to right-size their lives. And we were talking about how many square feet the average person lives in. And do you know, the average person uses only 1,100 square feet per 1,100 square feet per day. That's on average. In fact, that's generally what we use. What do you use? We use our bedroom. We use a bathroom, a kitchen. We use maybe a dining room, but that's usually a what if the people come over kind of a thing. It's not necessary, and you can always set up a nice table in the family room and dress it up with a little bit of effort, and it'll be a lot less expensive. 1,100 square feet. So I'm going to face the reality of being in over 5,000 square feet and recognizing that I don't want to heat cool, pay taxes on a house that I'm not really using the same way, except for the fact that my kids are going to want to come home. And there we go, right back around to what we were just starting this conversation about, which is how do you say goodbye? And how do I help my children say goodbye to the home that they've grown up in? So the number one way is to prepare and give time. It's a good idea to communicate the fact that you're going to be selling with your family, giving them enough time to know that it's going to happen so that the thought of it happening can be digested and worked through. Now, there are those who would disagree with this thought. There are those who'd say it's better to have the sign up when the kids get home and tell them we're moving. I don't think so, but that's personal opinion. I think it's better to advise your family, let them know what you're planning on doing, and try to give them a little bit of advance notice, and then give them some solutions for keeping the memories alive, which is ultimately where the pain falls for all of us with the stuff we own, right, and the places we live and so on, is how do I keep the memories alive and continue to live and not live with this sort of fear that I've abandoned, you know, guilt, all these kinds of feelings that can come from letting go, or that I can never go back, or shutting the door on those things. No, film. Film is a great way. In fact, you know, I think most of us these days have smartphones. Smartphones have recording devices. You can take camera, take pictures, or you can use the video function. And I recommend this when you've got something that you're ready to sell or give to one of the kids, is to walk through your house, film the item that you're going to pass on to the next generation. It's a baton, folks. It's something you're passing on to the next generation that they will pass on one day, and another family will get it another day, and another family will get it another day down your lineage, potentially. And so if you can film the story behind the item that you want to share, you have actually given not just the item, but the memory. With the house, it's a little bit different because you don't get to keep the house. You can always drive past the house, assuming that someone doesn't raise it at some point and put up a new house, which is going to happen to most of our houses at some point in the future, probably after most of us are gone. But some of you listening are like, yeah, I went home to my property where I grew up and I drove down the street and I couldn't find my house. And then I realized that that McMansion that I saw was just had replaced the house I grew up in. And all the trees that I'd grown up were gone and so on. And there was this feeling of, you know, feeling like of death almost, like I feel sadness. So working through that issue, how do you do it? Well, take the time now, film the outside of your home, film the inside of your home before you do any major renovations, film your home at different seasons. Give you a case in point. One daughter graduated from college, one graduated from high school recently. So I walked into their room with permission, which was important, and I filmed the inside of their room with the hats on the wall and the pictures. I was late because some things were already removed as one daughter is planning her move to Massachusetts. So I missed some of it. I was kind of lamenting the fact, but that said, I did get the majority of it. Go ahead and film the inside of your rooms. Film the spaces. It's not just the items themselves that you're getting rid of now, but it's also the spaces where your kids live. So if you're walking your family through a move, film the spaces, keep those memories. Quick story on that. Back in 1982, when I graduated from high school, I had done an exemplary job of decorating my bedroom with posters of phenomenal sites like the Blue Angels, Star Wars poster, Farrah Fawcett, right? You know what I'm saying? So I had all these great posters across all my room And I had done a good job, including on the ceiling of my room. I had all these posters, and I walked around with my Kodak camera and I took a picture of every wall in my room. And I thought, you know, I got to remember what this looks like. I took picture of little toys that I had made by my hands in the second, third, and fourth grade because I knew those items weren't going to continue to be with me. And guess what? I still have those pictures. I can still go back, and I'm brought back in a moment by an image. Without having the poster, without having those items, it brings me back, and I can talk about it. I can remember it, and your kids will bless you for it. You'll be blessed for it. And as you're passing the baton on generationally, as you're letting that childhood home go, consider filming and telling the stories so that not just for you, but also for your family and for your family's future family, everyone can get a sense of what life was like in your home in 2019 or beyond. Okay? All right. Hey, you're getting ready to sell. We have this fabulous guide. It's called the Market Ready Guide. And you hear me talk about it on the show. It's free, absolutely zero cost. If you want a copy, I'll mail it to you. There's no postage. Seriously, there's no postage. I'm not trying to make money on the guide. I want to help you get ideas on how you can prepare your home to sell when the time comes. The Market Ready Guide will give you actually statistics on what is the return on investment if you put in a new kitchen, if you put in a new bathroom. It also will guide you through the whole settlement process, what to expect in a home inspection, even questions that you may want to ask a real estate agent before you hire one. You know, this show is about consumer-oriented real estate, which is helping you get good information so you can approach the process well and succeed and be happy. So these questions will guide you. The whole guide will guide you. Sorry for the repetitive use of words. Go to ericstewartgroup.com now and download your free copy or call us and we'll mail it to you. Again, absolutely free. 800-900-9104 is our toll-free number. 800-900-9104. And if you can stay with us, we've got our Senior Solutions show straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM WMAL.